It's good to be here this morning. Stephen asked me if I wanted to come and fill in for him. I've only known Stephen for about a year now, but what a great man. And I know you're blessed to have him serve as your minister and one of your elders, and I'm thankful for him and the elders extending the invitation to come here on this very warm day outside, right? Well, it's really not that warm out. In fact, it's probably miserable outside to be out there for too long. But this morning, we often talk about love, and one of the adjectives we'll throw before the word love is warm. I'm not talking about someone's warm love, their warm affection for the person they love, or we might even talk about God's warm love for us. Well, I want to speak something about that from this passage here. I'm going to trust that you had a wonderful Christmas, whether you traveled, had family come into town, perhaps you've ate a little too much. That can be one of your resolutions that you won't keep, but it's good to be here. If you want to turn back to this passage from Galatians that we just read, and let's pray for a moment. Father God, as we open your word this morning that we've heard read to us, we're reminded, Father, that you are our Father, and that you sent your Son so that we could become your child, and that you've given us your Spirit to know that we are your child. And I pray, Father, this morning as I prepare to preach on this text, that you will pour upon me the gift of preaching, and you will pour upon us all the gift of hearing, so that we would hear the word you have for us this morning. It's by your grace and your mercy that this will happen. In the name of Jesus we pray, amen. So, as I said, the text I'm preaching from this morning is this text that was just read to us, Galatians 4, verses 4 through 7. It's one of the suggested readings for this Sunday in the Revised Common Lectionary. And so, for those of you who aren't familiar, the Revised Common Lectionary has all these suggested readings for each Sunday that kind of coincide with the Christian calendar. One of the benefits of that is that it helps us keep our sense of time, our orientation to time, rooted in the Christian faith rather than just in the secular world. So Galatians 4 is one of the suggested readings. The lectionary always offers an Old Testament reading, a reading from the Gospel, a reading from one of the Psalms, and then a reading from the Epistles or the New Testament. And so I said, well, I'm going to go with this Galatians 4 passage. It's the passage that's selected for the last Sunday of Advent. If you're not familiar with that word, Advent simply speaks of the coming or the arrival of someone important. So if Queen Elizabeth were planning to visit Kansas City for New Year's Eve, one way we would be speaking about this event, it would be an event, and it would be covered by all the news agencies around here. One way that we would speak of this event is we would speak of it as the advent of Queen Elizabeth to Kansas City, or the coming of Queen Elizabeth to Kansas City. But we're Christians gathered here this morning, and when we speak of Advent, we have Jesus in mind, the coming of Jesus. And the question of the Advent for us always is this. Why did Jesus come? Why did God send His Son into this world to be born of a virgin? To live His life in that relatively the age of a young man in his 30s. Be tried in a kangaroo court and sentenced to death on a cross. Why did Jesus, the Son of God, come to earth? Surely, there's more to the Advent story than just a neat little story about a baby boy born in a manger to two very poor parents named Mary and Joseph. And so with this question in mind, on this first Sunday after Christmas, we have this text suggested by the lectionary for this day. And so my question, why? What's important about this text with the season of Advent and the coming of Jesus? If you want to, I have slides here and I've already lost track of them, but if you want to change, go to the next slide. And yes. So the Apostle Paul would answer this question for us in verse 4 and 5 by saying this, but when the set time had fully come, God sent His Son, born of a woman, born under law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship. I'm kind of curious as to what we hear when a passage like that is read. I mean, maybe in one sense, we hear it with all our years of being a Christian. You say, well, yes, that's true. That's our faith right there. But maybe we're surprised. Is that what we expect of God? Could the promise of salvation, which is what we're talking about when we're talking about the coming of Jesus, could that promise be as simple as God sending His Son, born of a woman and born under law, to redeem us? Or is there somehow more to it than just God sending His Son? Yeah, I don't know about you, but I've been a Christian for well over 20 years now, and most of those years I've served in the capacity as a minister with the local church. And one thing I've observed in my years as a minister is how difficult it is for some people to believe in the grace of God, to believe in the promise of salvation that God is extending to us in His Son, Jesus Christ. And we sing songs like Amazing Grace, His Grace Reaches Me, or more contemporary songs like Mighty to Save and In Christ Alone. And yet, there still seems to be this faith crisis that we sometimes have in which we doubt the grace of God. Maybe some of us struggle with this because someone has convinced us that we're saved because we go to the right church, We're saved because we're able to parse every single verse in the Bible correctly, because we neither add to or subtract from God's Word. And we don't dare end up being like one of those Christians who ends up in a divorce, or who ends up checking into Alcoholics Anonymous, or one of those Christians who ends up struggling with any of number of other issues. I'm glad if that's you, but it's not most of us. It's not me. I'm all for obeying God. And I believe there's a day that is coming when God is going to judge the world. But I also want to say this. I don't believe that God the Father is this angry and maniacal being who is just waiting to send us to hell. I mean, if that's who God is, He didn't need to send His Son Jesus. We've already done that for ourselves. And just let history take its course. But God entered into history. This is the story of our Christian faith. That God entered into history and changed the course of history. History was headed in one direction to a very, very, very bad ending. And then God enters into history, becoming one of us, and giving Himself up for us. So I don't believe that God is this angry and maniacal being just waiting to send us to hell. If you want to turn to the next slide. Instead of this angry and maniacal view of God, or this view of God who could never, ever let us let go of our sins and our struggles, who could ever forgive us, our text in Galatians wants us to see God the Father as this loving Father in whom we have this loving relationship. This loving relationship as a parent and child has. And I get it. I know that some of us, we can look back in our childhood, or maybe we're living through that right now, and we don't have the great, wonderful parent-to-child relationship that we should have. But in the best sense, a parent and a child have a loving relationship. And this text in Galatians wants us to see this. So the Apostle Paul says in verse 6 and 7, "Because you are His sons, God sent His Spirit, sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts. The Spirit who calls out, 'Abba, Father.' So, you are no longer a slave, but God's child. Since you are His child, God has made you also an heir." This January will mark 21 years since my father, my earthly father, died from pancreatic cancer. Ironically, this is what led to me becoming a Christian. My dad owned his own business. He was an excavator. For years, operator in the union. And then after retiring from the union, he started his own excavating business. Those of you who don't know what that is, that's bulldozers and backhoes. Everything from residential construction to commercial road building and everything. And when I turned 13 years old, my daughter with me today is getting ready to turn 13 this January 1st. When I turned 13 years old, my dad woke me up at 4:30 in the morning and said, "Get out of bed, you're going to work with me." It was on an August day, and he said, "From now on, if you're not in a school activity or church activity, you're going to go to work with me. This way you won't get in trouble and everything." And that first day at 4:30 in the morning, we went down and we sat at a cafe. I watched him drink coffee for about 2 hours and talk with his friends. I said, "I thought we were going to work." And he said, "Oh yeah." He goes, "We don't normally go this early. I just wanted to see what it was like for you to have to get out of bed before the crack of dawn once in your life." I said, "Okay, the joke's over. This isn't fun." I was blessed. I did come from a very functional family. My mother and dad loved me. My mother is still living. My mother still loves me. My parents would have gave the world and then some for me. Every summer I'd work with my dad. On Saturdays I'd work with my dad. After I graduated high school, I went to work with my dad full time. We butted heads sometimes. Sometimes I had a way of provoking my dad, making him just a little irritated, okay, maybe angry sometimes. Mostly that's because I was 10 feet tall and bulletproof and knew it all. Or so I thought. And so there was times that I frustrated my dad, made him angry. But he was still my dad. Still my father. And no matter how often I would make him angry, he still loved me. And one of those moments I remember most about working for him is the days, there's some days in construction where the work isn't too demanding. And there's some days where it's just outright physically taxing on a human body. Especially those days where in mid-July, early August, it's reaching 100 degrees in the sunshine and there's no shade. And he knew when I was putting honest work in. And those moments at the end of the day where he'd say, "I'm proud of you, son. You worked really hard." I had a loving relationship with my dad. And I never once doubted his love for me, because of the way he treated me. It seems like this Trinitarian image of God that we have here in Galatians 4, this image of God the Father sending His Son and then giving us His Spirit so that we can cry out to Him as Father. It seems like this image wants to convey to us that we have a loving relationship with God the Father, who loves us more than we could ever fully imagine or fully grasp. Now, do we ever butt heads with God? Yes. Do we ever do things that disappoint God? Yes. Do we ever do things that just outright make God angry? Of course. I'm sure there's times that God is looking down upon us, frustrated, saying, "What are they doing? Don't they see where this path leads to?" But at the same time, here's God the Father saying, "Child, I love you. I sent my son Jesus. And I let him be crucified on a cross by people full of evil to save you. So don't you ever doubt how much I love you. This isn't the image of God. This isn't the image of a God just sitting up on His heavenly throne, stoking the fires of hell, saying, "Oh, I can't wait to lay it on them for the way they've acted." This is an image of God who sometimes gets disappointed but says, "Know this, no matter how terrible your sin, no matter how deep your struggle is, I still love you, and I will always love you." In fact, the overarching story of the Bible is that of a loving God, a God who's full of steadfast love. You ever heard that phrase before? It's throughout the Bible. It was core to the faith of Israel. A God who's full of steadfast love, whose mercies never cease, whose mercies are new every morning. So if you want to turn to the next slide. Back in 2014, I saw this movie, Calvary. It wasn't a huge box office hit. Not like Star Wars, so a lot of you may have never heard about it. It's not a film I would suggest you go watching with young children. But it is a film that is infused with a lot of gospel. The film is about a Catholic priest in Ireland named Father James. And it begins with a man who has entered into the confessional booth saying that he is going to kill Father James in 1 week. I mean, that really stinks for Father James. The man is going to kill Father James because Father James is a good man. And this man knows that people will take heed if he kills a good man. And he's going to kill Father James for the sins of another priest who abused this man when he was a boy. You can imagine a plot like that while I'm saying I wouldn't watch this with children. Now, as you can imagine, Father James is torn between the desire to flee for his own safety, as we all would be, wanting to save his own life, but on the other hand, he has a parish of people that he's responsible for. He can't say a word to them because, according to Catholic faith, that would betray the oath of confessional. So he goes on, and throughout the week, he goes on caring for those people. It's frustrating because those people in his Catholic church are rather nominal in their faith. They seem to take their faith for granted. And nothing they do, though, will lessen Father James's love for them. So in the end, rather than abandoning them, he stays the course until the end, loving and caring for these people of his church until he's killed. When this movie ended in the theater, nobody got up and left. There was people just sitting in there weeping. As I said, this movie is so infused with gospel. The gospel is the story about God. About God the Father who loves His creation. Loves His creation, loves us who have been created in His image with such a deep and convicting love that He will not abandon us. That no matter how bad, how deep, how messy, how ugly the sins of the world have become, this God will not abandon His creation, but instead joins His creation by becoming one of them, by becoming one of us, becoming the Son, Jesus Christ. God the Father then gives up His Son Jesus for us on the cross because He loves us. We sometimes sing the song, "Because He loved me so." Why did my Savior come to earth? Because He loved me so. And see, so here's Jesus on the cross, being crucified. And just when it seems that this story has gone terribly wrong, that here is this Messiah who's been born into this world, this Messiah that Israel has held out hope for. You can go back and you can read through the Old Testament, the prophets, that they spoke of a Messiah who was going to come, who would restore justice, who would put the world to right, who would restore the kingdom of God. And just when it seems here this Messiah is, now this Messiah is hanging on a cross. And it seems that this story has gone horribly wrong. How can this be? And that's when God the Father looks down at His Son who's been crucified and been buried among the dead. And He says, "Get up, son, because this grave is not going to hold on you. Because this sin and this death will not win. We win." And so God raises His Son. He exalts Him as Lord, as Messiah, as the King of Kings, so that the world will know that He is indeed victorious over all sin and death. And so God the Father sends His Spirit into this world so that we who have come to Jesus can receive that Spirit and cry out, "Abba, Father," and know that we too share in this victory, that we too share in this promise of eternal life, this heavenly fellowship between the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. And this is why God has sent His Son, Jesus Christ, in the world. At its simple root, at its simple core, it's this: so that we will have redemption from sin and death. And so today, we're going to sing a song. It's your custom, like many other churches of Christ. As we prepare to enter the new year of 2018, maybe you do find yourself struggling in some manner. But I want you to know this. This is the message that I believe God has called me to come preach to you this morning. That God loves you. And that God sent His Son Jesus into this world so that you would know that God loves you. If you've never been baptized into Jesus Christ, then I want you to know that God is inviting you to the waters of baptism, to be buried with Christ and then to be raised with Christ into new life. And if you're not sure what that is, maybe you're a guest here, maybe this is your first time ever stepping foot in a church service. You're not sure what that is? ask one of the shepherds here. I'm sure they'll be glad to sit down and talk with you more about that. Maybe you've been baptized, but as you come to the close of year 2017, you find yourself still struggling. Now, I hope you'll find the faith to find the strength of knowing that you are a child of God and that you're dearly loved by God the Father in heaven. If you'd like someone to pray with you this morning, we'd be glad to do that. Because we believe that God the Father, who loves us, is also listening to us and will respond according to His will. We're going to sing another song, and if we can help you in any way this morning, whether it's to accept God's invitation to baptism or just to study more about what that is or pray with you in some way, let us know and we'll be glad to serve you. Let's sing.
Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in His grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless, are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you walking daily by the Savior's side? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Do you rest each moment in the crucified? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless, are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Will your soul be incarnate? Will your robes be white? Red white in the blood of the Lamb? Will your soul be ready for the vengeance bright and be washed in the blood?
Are you white as snow? Are you white?